to me for? What does that mean? It's a good guess. What? Church, yeah. And specifically, can you like break those words down? How do we break it down? What is church? Ecclesia, what does it stand for? Called out, absolutely. They're called out of what? What are we called out of, church? We're a family, yeah, absolutely. We're called out of sin, good. And if we're called out of something, then we've got to be called into something. So what are we called into? Jesus, right? Yeah, absolutely. We change from being God's enemy to being God's family, His children. And so we have a whole new identity and a whole new life and a whole new purpose. And so we've been studying a little bit about like what the church does. If that's who we are, we're brand new, we're made in Jesus, we're His children, we're a family. We do something. We act differently. There's something about us. And so we've been studying this one anothering that the church does. And what did we say one anothering is? Like, what are a few of those things that we do for each other as the church? Anybody remember? We just watched a video on one. Love one another. There you go. That's the easy one, right? It was a little reminder from last week. We talked about loving one another and what that looked like. Well, how do we love one another really well? What does that mean when we really love one another? What will we do? We'll be nice. That's a great start. Yep. We're going to be nice. What? Support each other. Yeah. Put their needs before ours. Remember we talked about how when one member of our body hurts, we all hurt. When they suffer, we all suffer. When they rejoice, we all celebrate with them. So we're like walking through life with each other. You're going through things, I'm going to be there going through it with you. And so as we talk about these different things, Matt Denyer talked about the fact that we would confess and forgive one another. And there's all these different one anotherings that basically what it means is I'm here for you. And you know, the best way that we can love one another and be there for each other is through prayer. The greatest tool that we have to do that for each other is by praying for each other. Y'all have been hearing all sorts of people talk about prayer. Evie talked to us last week. This week, Happy shared a testimony about prayer. We've been praying together. We watched a movie on prayer. There's National Day of Prayer, and you're like, what is all this prayer stuff going on around here? Why do we pray so much at this church? Because we believe that the greatest thing we could ever do to make any sort of impact on one another is by talking to Him about it. Is by going before our God and saying, Lord, You're the only one who has the power to do anything. So we're asking You to empower us and to work and to move. And so we do that through prayer. So this is what we're going to do. Since we talk about prayer a lot, we're going to practice it. Each one of you is going to get up and you're going to come up in front and you're going to pray for the group so we can hear. Some of you guys are like you're so nervous you're going to throw up right now. That's me. Well, it used to be me. I'm nervous right now. You don't even know it. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I am a little bit. No, I'm not. You're not really going to do that. I'm kidding. So some of you guys can calm down. But how'd you feel? How'd that make you feel when I said that? You're like really nervous? Anybody nervous about that? Like, I feel like I would have been in your shoes, like super nervous. I'd be in the back already trying to get out the door, pushing Megan out of the way. Like, I'm out of here. I'm not getting up in front of people. Do you ever feel uncomfortable when you pray? Or maybe like confused? Like, what do I pray for? How do I do this? Am I doing it right? Like, what if I say the wrong words? Do you feel uncomfortable talking in front of big groups? Or maybe even with like two or three people, there's like, you're not really sure if you can do that, even with two or three. Maybe some of us, you're just uncomfortable or confused about how to even talk to God one-on-one. And so what I wanted to do tonight was, since prayer is such a huge part of our life together as the body of Jesus, I wanted to talk about prayer. I wanted to look into Scripture and say, what is this? How do we do this right so that we can not be confused by the greatest tool that God's given us to lift each other up. And so I'll start by showing you a few things you shouldn't do. So we got a little quick video for you to watch, and then we'll pick up with our verses, okay? FYI, okay? But will you guys open up to James chapter 5 with me? James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. We're going to look real quick at a description of a powerful prayer. How does prayer work? So that way we're not confused. James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. All right, it says, Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it didn't rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So here's a passage from James about prayer. This tool that we can use as we're the church and we're the body and we're called out and called into Jesus. We're there for one another. He says, the greatest tool that you have in your belt to lift each other up, to love one another, is by going before God in His throne and lifting each other up before Him. Now, if I think you're really important and you need some help, I might go to Zach and be like, Zach, bro, like, you got to help him out, dude. You're awesome. You can help this guy, right? Because you're a cool dude, right? And Zach's pretty awesome. He's got some strings he can pull for you. But if you're really, really, really important, I might not even stop at Zach, right? I'm going to go even higher up the ladder. When you go to God, you're going to the highest power in the entire universe. You're going to the one who put the stars in the sky, who gave us air to breathe. He keeps your heart beating as we speak right now in this moment. He can do all of that. Why not go to Him? Why not go straight to the one who holds all the strings? And so he says the greatest tool is talking to the one who has all the power. It's one thing to talk to Zach. He's got a little bit of power. He's a cool dude. But when you're talking to God, He has all the power. There is absolutely nothing that God can't do. As a matter of fact, everything that's been done that exists has been created by Him. And so when He says, hey, come pray to me, it's not just like, yeah, he might do this. You're talking to the power source of the entire universe. And He wants you to. He's inviting you into His throne. As a matter of fact, He says that as we accept Him, we have the ability to walk into His throne with boldness and confidence. What does that mean? Have you ever walked into like the White House unannounced? No, because you probably can't. They'd probably shoot you. Have you ever watched the news and these dudes are like landing these like flying helicopter motorcycles on like the White House lawn recently? Have you seen that? What happens to the dude? In like 5 seconds, there's like security all over him, pounding him into the ground. Why? Because it's the White House. You can't walk in there. Not without permission anyway. Imagine walking into the throne of God. You ain't getting in there unless God says, come on in. And He's looking at you saying, I want you in here. You can boldly and confidently march right into my throne, the King of the universe, just march on in and talk to me. And we do that through prayer. You're able to walk before God and say, Lord, this is what's on my heart. This is what these people around me are hurting with, and I need to ask you to help them. I need to bring them before you because you have all the power in the world. And so look at verse 13 with me real quick. This is what James says. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone sick? And his solution there is pray as well. We have three very different things. Like first you have someone who's suffering, right? What does he have in common with someone who is, what does it say there, cheerful? Those two very similar things. Someone who's suffering and someone who's cheerful. Exactly the same, right? They're like almost total opposites, right? And then someone who's sick. Like we're getting all of these different instances of life where guess what the solution is? Pray. If you're happy and cheerful and like your life is going great, you know what you should do? Thank God through prayer and say, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done because you're responsible for this. Remember, He is the power source of everything. Thank you, God, for doing this. And on the flip side, if you're over here and you're like, man, my life right now is a mess and I'm hurting and everything's broken and I don't know how I'm going to get through exams and I got all this craziness going on, you know what He says to do? Pray. If you're sick, if someone in your life is sick, no matter what the problem is or what state you're in, the answer is prayer. You know what that tells me? God really wants us to talk to Him. No matter what you're going through, happy, sad, fat, skinny, whatever. I just thought of me for a second, a little fat. Anyway, He says, pray. Talk to me. I love you. I want you here. You're my creation. You're my child. I took you out of the world and brought you into my family, and I want to talk to you. I want to hear from you. And so the situations He's setting up here, He's saying, in all times, in all cases, no matter what's going on, I want you to pray. Look at the next verse, verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. No matter what the prayer is, God has a solution. If you're sick, you're going to be healed because God has the power. He's the great physician. How many times through the New Testament have we heard stories about Jesus walking through the towns and someone with leprosy will walk up to him and be like, Jesus, like, look at me. My arm's falling off. You know, and they're like, it's gross. And Jesus is like, hey, let me touch you. You're healed. And they're perfect. But Jesus, my daughter's dead and she's at home and I need you to come. She's not dead, she's sleeping. Rise up and walk. But Jesus, my friend can't walk. He's lame and we're going to bring him down through the roof here for a second. Can you just help him? Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. Over and over and over, Jesus with the power to heal. And so he says, hey, prayer. Ask me. If you don't ask, you don't get, right? So ask Jesus. He says, but don't just pray. Pray a prayer of faith. And if it's sin in your life and you're marred by the sin that is just kicking your butt, you need to get to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sinning. I'm stuck in this temptation and this sin keeps beating me. And he says, as you pray to me, I'll forgive that. You can't find forgiveness anywhere else but in the throne room of Christ. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Over and over, we're seeing that the solution to everything in our lives is prayer. So here's my question, guys. I know you're young. That's cool. It's not too young to start praying. So my question to you is, do you pray? Are you a praying person? Do you regularly have time when you talk to God? Maybe you're that person who, like, all throughout the day, you're just talking to Him. You're just chatting with God. You're like, Lord, help me in this next class because I got a big test coming up. And then people are like, what is that dude talking to himself back there? And like, now he's just talking to Jesus. You know, like, he's always talking to Jesus. He's praying. He's a praying person. Or you're that person that every single night you're on your knees before you go to bed and you're talking to God and reading your Bible saying, Lord, this is what happened today. God, this is what's going on tomorrow. Here's my heart. Are you a praying person? Do you have a time where you talk to God? And let me challenge you. If you're not, you're missing out. You're missing out because the God of the universe who has all the power for everything is saying, I love you. I love you and I want to talk to you. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying you're missing out because you could have a whole lot more cool stuff if you talk to God and hang out with Him. God can do some awesome stuff. But here's what you're really missing out on. A relationship with the Creator of the universe. Because as you talk to Him, you get to know Him. You share your heart with Him. You read His Word and you learn who He is. And so, yeah, God can do some cool stuff for you, but the part you're really missing out on is that relationship with your Maker. The one who took you out of the world and brought you into His family. And so He says, pray. Don't miss out on this. Pray. Can I challenge you guys? Be praying people. I'm in middle school, Rob. Like, I'm too young for all that. I don't need to pray yet. Like, I don't even have bills yet. I don't even have a car. I have nothing to, like, worry me. Like, I'm not married. I don't have a wife that's, like, always making me go crazy. I'm just kidding, girls. I just did that for you. Like, I'm not a grown-up. I don't have adult problems yet. Guess what? You have real-life problems. Because you're real and you're alive. And you have your own type of problems right now. And God's not here just to say, hey, give me your problems. He says, give me all of it. I want your life. Celebrate with me. Tell me what's going on. But I want to challenge you guys. Be praying people. Talk to God. And He says, the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick. It's really cool because He doesn't just say pray. What does He say there? What kind of prayer is He asking for? A faithful prayer. Well, how do I do a faithful prayer? Like, how do I do that? Believe that God has the power to do what you're asking. That's a start. Believe He is who He is and He does what He says. But I think even more than that, it's more than just, God, You'll answer my request exactly how I want. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to get down on my knees tonight and I'm going to be like, God, I want a red Ferrari tomorrow. I just want to wake up in the morning. I'm going to walk out my house. There's going to be this beautiful 2017 shiny red Ferrari. Woo, the keys are going to be on my nightstand. It's going to be great. And I believe You can do it, God. I know it. I have faith, right? It's not so much that God's going to give you that red Ferrari the next morning when you wake up, because you believe He'll give you what you want. It's, God, I believe in You. You see, the faith isn't in the request or even the answer to the request. The faith is in the One who can grant it. A prayer of faith in a God who says, I love You and I want what's best for You. The faith comes in when you say, God, even if You say no to this, and I wake up and there's this little beat up VW out there and that's all I get, that's cool. Or if there's nothing out there at all, I'm not going to stop believing because my faith isn't contingent on what You give me. I don't stop believing just because I don't get an answer to a prayer that I want. I believe in You. My faith is in Jesus, not in the request I made. And I love You more than any answer to a prayer You might give me. He says that type of prayer is powerful. Because that type of prayer says, Jesus, I'm about You, not about stuff. I'm about You, not about answers that I get. I believe that You want what's best for me. And if You say yes, that's good. And I can praise You, like I said before. And if it's not a yes and it's a no and I'm going to suffer, then I can pray to You more. But either way, my faith is in Christ, period, no matter what the answer to this thing is. And it says that that type of prayer is crazy powerful, y'all. A prayer that doesn't tell God what to do, but says, God, I believe in You. And I want You more than anything I could ever ask for. And then He says this next. Check out this verse, 16. Therefore, ready for this? He's like, you ready for this? Hold on. This is what you need to do. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Wait a minute. Where is this confession thing popping back in here for? We already talked about that with Matt. We should confess to one another. Like when we have sins or we wrong each other, because that's what the church does. If I wrong Kyle, I'm like, bro, I love you, man. I'm sorry I did this to you. I'm going to confess that. And what's Kyle going to do? You jerk, get out of my face. I hate you. That's what he's going to do? You punch me in the face? No, he's going to be like, bro, I forgive you. You said sorry, so I forgive you because I love you. You're my brother. I don't want this between us. All of a sudden, that confession pops back in here about sin when it's talking about prayer. What if I had this crazy thing between me and Kyle? What if I went out there and I popped his tires one night? I was just mad at him. I popped his tires. So I never apologized. He couldn't even get home. He had to walk all the way home. Wore his shoes out, sole fell off on the way home, favorite shoes. I never apologize. The next time I see Kyle, walk up to him, hey buddy, what's up man, I love you bro, how you doing? What's Kyle's response going to be? Really? I don't want to be that guy, right? I want to be the dude that says, bro, there's something between us. I don't expect you just to look at me and be like, hey Rob, how you doing man, missed you too. I would expect he'd probably take the flat tire off his truck and throw it at me, right? Because like, you popped my tires, knucklehead. Like, you can't talk to me like it's all good. There's confession there. I go up and I make things right and I say, Kyle, I need to admit something to you. There's something between us right now that I did. And that clears the relationship. You know, God's not any different. Except He's super patient, way more than us. Really forgiving. And so when you go to Him and you're not saved and your heart is just full of sin and He looks down at you and still loves you even how you are, He doesn't expect you to make your life perfect. He just says, I forgive you. I make you my child. I pull you out of the world. But once you've been forgiven, He says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to keep that relationship with me. When there's stuff between us, I want you to confess it. I want you to keep this communication clear. And so when He says, hey, you're going to pray to me? Confess your sins. Get the sin on the table and repent before you talk to me so we can have clear communication. You know, like when we come up to worship sometimes, we want to sing because we're about to hear the word and we're like, man, if we're going to study God's word, our hearts better get right. So let's play a song real quick and get our hearts right. You know, that's not what we do here. We give you a little moment to like look at scripture and pray and think before we ever start that. You know why we do that? You ever wonder that? Because we believe that before we get into worship God, the God of creation, that's a big deal. That we want to have our hearts right. We want to have a time where we can stop and just say, Lord, man, I messed up today. There's some stuff in my heart that has just been dominating my relationship with you. And I need to confess. And before we ever start to worship Him, before we ever sit down and start to pray and praise Him, or ask Him for things, we need to go, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I want us to be good. I want you more than I want the requests. But you know what we're doing when we go to Him and our hearts just full of sin and we're still asking Him for stuff? We're saying, God, I don't care about our relationship as much as I care about the things I'm asking for. Uh-oh. What kind of relationship is that? We just talked about a prayer of faith. It's a prayer that says, Lord, I care about you more than this stuff. And so what He tells us to do is if we're going to have powerful prayer, we need to confess our sins to one another. That's not like you're going to go to a priest. Like on Tuesdays, I'm going to open my office. You guys are going to come and be like, hey, Rob, I need to sit with you because I did some stuff this week and I need to confess. And you sit down and I'm like, okay, brother, tell me all the stuff that you did. Like that's not the confession we're talking about. It says to one another. So you're not having to go before a priest to do this. It says to each other in the body of Christ. This confession we're talking about is saying that the people around you that love you, that hold you accountable, that lift you up to Jesus, that you should be in a constant state of accountability with them. Like, Dustin, man, I need to share something with you, bro. Like, you're my brother, and I need some encouragement and some prayer. Man, I messed up this week. Can you just pray with me? Can you encourage me to, like, man, be able to stand up against this sin? And as we do that, as we get that sin out before God and before one another, He says, we should be praying for each other. I hear you, dude. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the one that can help you stand up against sin, the one that can purify your heart, the one who already died for you and forgave you for this. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do battle for you on my knees. So here's my next question. You ready? Are you guys doing battle for each other? Are you praying for each other? Now, I get it. Sometimes we pray like up here, like praying, man, what color car should I get, God? And like, my dog's ankle hurts a little bit, God. And we get those prayer requests and they're important to us and I'm not belittling them. But there's real life problems too that we got. There's real sin kicking our butts every single day. Are we praying about that for each other? Are we praying for the people in our lives that don't know Jesus that are going to go to hell for eternity? Or are we more concerned with that new bike we want? That new video game? When this dude's going to go to hell forever. I pray that God helps us prioritize the things in our lives. That we pray powerful prayers of faith for things that will be eternal. You see, because everything in this world is going to go away. It's going to stop. It's going to disappear. All the things we pray about. I got a stuffy nose, God. One day, you're never going to have a stuffy nose again. You know that? You'll never have to pray that prayer again. Man, well, I need a good grade in this test. One day, that test will be totally forgotten and no one will ever remember you took it. But the people around you in this room, people in your lives, they don't go away. They last forever. We should be praying for each other because you have souls that never, ever go away. They either go to hell or they go to heaven. Are you doing battle for each other? Are you praying? Are you lifting each other up? That's what it tells us we should do. And it says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. That last little phrase there, you see that? You don't, but I do. It says, as it is working. It's actually this word that, if you look it up, means energy. Just energy. A prayer that has energy is powerful. Well, what does that mean, a prayer that has energy? Like, I'm like jumping up and down when I do it. I'm like, woo, yeah, Jesus, hallelujah, man. Like, is that the type of prayer I'm praying because I'm energetic? Is that what that means? Or I'm just really passionate about it, or I'm really emotional about it. Like, what kind of prayer is that that has energy? And it's interesting that it came right after this conversation about confessing our sin. I remember another part of the Bible where Paul tells us that we do everything through the energy of God. It's His energy at work in us. What is that? The Holy Spirit. This prayer that says, God, I'm walking in your throne because you told me I can. And I'm confessing my sin and dropping it at your feet. It says that a righteous man, you see that? A righteous person has great power. It doesn't say a perfect person. It doesn't say that all of a sudden Blake's going to have to just give up all sin, period, and he never ever sins again the rest of his life. He's perfect now. It doesn't happen until we get to heaven, right? It doesn't say perfect, but it says righteous. And righteous is a person who says, Lord, I admit my fault. God, you saved me and I'm still sinning. I want to lay the sin at your feet. And you come in with a clean heart in a righteous way and say, God, I'm repentant. And a righteous person's prayer is all of a sudden filled with energy, is what it says. That act of confession before God and not saying, God, I'm walking in your throne. This is what I want. Are you ready? Take out your pen, Lord. Get your scroll ready. All right? Because I want these things, right? Number one, here we go. It's not Santa. You're not sitting on his lap telling him what you want for Christmas. You're walking in his throne and you're saying, Lord, I'm laying everything down. I'm letting go of everything. I'm not telling you what I want. I'm telling you what I'm giving up. Here you go. I believe that you're the king. My prayer is full of things like, Lord, take this. God, I confess this sin. God, I can't control this situation. God, I trust that you want what's best for me. You're the king. Tell me what to do. Give me my marching orders. Send me on my way. God, I came to hear from you in this prayer. That's a righteous prayer. He says, as we pray like that, this energy, the Holy Spirit Himself empowers our prayer. God Himself rises up to action on our behalf. So it's not you anymore in this battle. God says, hang on, buddy. I'll fight this for you. I got this one. And all of a sudden, the energy of God comes to battle for you. Whew. Think about that one for a second. The God of creation is now fighting your fight. That's the power of prayer. Now, I get it. You're sitting there and you're skeptical and you're like, what? I've never seen that before. Have you tried it? You tried it like that? Have you laid your sins down before God and said, Lord, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm trusting you to take care of this and see what He does. Watch the Holy Spirit step up in your place and say, you better hang on. You're not going to be ready for the results of this. Because that's the promise we have here. He uses an example in case you don't believe Him. Check this out. He says, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He wasn't perfect. Elijah had sin, but he was righteous. He prayed fervently, just like we're talking about, that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, guess what happened? No rain! The dude walked outside, and he's like, hey, God. And he prays this righteous prayer, and God's like, boom, I'm stopping the rain. For 3.5 years, there's no rain. Whoa! Any of y'all tried that before? You ever do it? Like, I've tried rain dances, but you ever tried a rain dance? I mean, that's like totally pagan. But anyway, that's not the point. Don't ever rain dance. I don't know where I'm going. God says what you pray, if it's a righteous prayer that lays at my feet, is powerful. He says Elijah does it. Later on, he comes back and goes, God, you can let it rain again. If it's your will, boom, all of a sudden it starts to rain. This was a dude just like us, guys. We hear names like Elijah and Moses and Abraham. We're like, yeah, but that's them. Like, I'm me. It's Rob Jones down here, remember? Like, this is me. And God's like, I know, but it's not about the person. It's about me. It's the one you're praying to. So it's okay that it's Rob Jones. It's okay it's you. Just you. Because you're praying to just me. And God's like, I got the power to do this. I want to challenge you guys to pray. Pray like this. Pray for big things. And it's cool to pray for, you know, runny noses and all that stuff. That's cool. But pray for eternal things too. Start praying for things that are God-sized things. That God, if you don't do this, it's not going to happen. There's no way I could ever manipulate some sort of result out of this, God. I can't do it. So I'm going to pray for God-sized prayer requests that if you don't do it, it's not happening. And then see what He does. And have faith through it. And trust in Him, not in the result, but trust God knows best. and wants the best for you. Pray with a repentant heart. I want to tell you one quick story. I'll let you guys go. I was at the missions conference. You guys at that a couple weeks ago? The missions conference here? Missions week? Any of you guys? A few of you? I was sitting in one of the groups, and there was a missionary from China that was there, and he was talking about this guy he met. And the dude's name that he met, it was Tao. His name was Tao, or Dao, or something like that. I think it was Tao. And so Tao, like, he was this dude that was a bad dude. And when I say bad dude, I mean really bad. He hung out with two really bad friends, and they did some really, really bad stuff enough to get him stuck right in jail. His two friends in communist China immediately executed. That was it. Somehow he didn't. He gets sentenced to life in this maximum security prison where nobody ever had gotten paroled from. You don't get released. When you go, you eventually die there. That's the type of prison he got sent to. So he goes to this prison, and he's just like, all he could think about is getting in shape. He's like, I'm going to work out. I'm going to run. I'm going to do like pull-ups. Basically, what he's doing is, when I see that one opportunity, I'm going to be in good enough shape to just get out of here and run as fast as I can and outrun these guards and escape, because there's no other way out. I'm going to die. He's bored out of his mind. He's just working out all day long. His roommate comes in from a visitation, drops his book on the table. He sees it, didn't think anything about it. 2 weeks go by, and his book's still there. Roommate still hadn't touched it. He's like, bro, what's the story with the book? He's like, yeah, no big deal. He's like, you mind if I read it? Because I'm pretty bored. He's like, yeah, my crazy sister, she's a Christian. She dropped it off, wants me to like believe in Jesus. He's like, never going to happen. Keep it. It's a Bible. I don't want it. All right, cool. I'm bored. I'm going to read it. So he grabs it and he starts reading it. He gets to Proverbs. You guys know what's in the book of Proverbs? Wisdom, right? Wisdom statements. And he's reading. He's like, whoa, like this stuff is really, really smart. This is some really good advice. And I've never done any of this. Like I do the exact opposite. And so he saw it and was like, you know what? Only God himself could think of things like this. There's no other way this could be in here. So he said, I'm going to believe it. And not only am I going to believe it, I'm just going to do it because it sounds like really good advice. So everything he reads, he starts to say, I'm going to do this. He's reading through the Bible and he just does everything the Bible says. He gets to the part about, hey, don't eat pork, right? You guys remember that in the Old Testament? So he's like, I'm giving up pork. Well, problem in China is that the only meat, if you ever get meat in China, because of their economy, is pork. He's in jail. If they ever get meat at all, it's going to be pork. So basically, he's like, guess I'm a vegetarian. Like, he just gave up meat. Mallory's like, woohoo, yes, vegetarian. Anyway, she's not here now. He gives it up. He hadn't gotten to the part yet where God's like, it's okay to eat pork. Some of you guys are like, can I not go to Sonny's anymore, Rob? No, you can go. It's cool. Later on, when he gets there, he's like, oh, I can eat pork. That stunk. I missed out on ribs. But he's just trying to do what the Bible says. As he's reading through it, he gets further along and he gets to the part where like Peter and Paul and all these different dudes are in prison. And as they're in prison, like they'll do stuff. They pray to God. They're like, hey, let me out of here. Get me out of prison. As they're praying, God releases them from prison. And he's like, what? Wait a minute. Similarity here. They're in prison. I'm in prison. He's like, they prayed. I better pray. And he's like, I want to get out of prison. Starts praying to God. He's like, God, release me. If you get me out of here, I know there's no other way I would ever get out of here except that if you did it. So you're going to get the glory for this. There's no other way it could happen. He's praying, he's praying, he's praying. A couple weeks later, somebody comes to his cell. You're on parole. Me? You see, this prison had never had anybody get paroled from it. And to this day, since that guy was paroled, nobody still has gotten paroled from this prison. It's known for that. He's been the one guy who's ever been paroled from this prison. He gets out. He's like, I guess you did this. He's like, I'm dedicating my whole life to you. You did this. This was a God-sized prayer request, and you did it. So he goes back to his town. In his town happens to be the missionary that was here talking to us. And so he's like, wait a minute. They know about the Bible. If they're missionaries, goes and knocks on the door. He's like, hey, listen, here's my story. And they're like, whoa, okay. I need you to tell me everything about this book and everything about Jesus. And he just starts digging into the Bible and wanting to hear more about God. And they're teaching him and he's growing. Finally, one day he calls up the missionary. And he's like, hey, listen, I got a brother who may or may not have been the one who got me in all this trouble. And he wants to hear a little bit more about this Bible stuff because he's not sure about what he sees in me. And the missionary's like, well, I'm actually out doing a task, but my wife can come over. And he's like, okay, so he calls his wife. She's like, what, me? Like, where am I going? Turns out this dude's brother was the mafia boss for the entire town. The dude killed people for a living. She's like, where do you want me to go? Are you sure? Did God tell you that? So she goes over there praying the whole time. Like, God, keep me safe. God, help me. Be like, speak truth. She sits down. There's food everywhere, they said. All over the tables, just food everywhere. There's the dude, Tao, and there's his brother. And his brother's the mafia boss. He's used to being in control, right? He's in charge of the conversation. So he starts talking about Jesus. He didn't know nothing about Jesus, but he's used to being in control, right? So he's like, that Jesus is a pretty good guy. She's like, what? This guy doesn't know anything about him. And he's talking and talking. He eventually says something like this. You know, I think I got a little bit of a relationship with Jesus myself. And she stops. She's like, skirt. You know, wait a minute. I got to tell this guy the truth. But if I do, he's a mafia boss. Like, he might kill me. Like, what am I going to say? So she prays. She's like, God, give me the strength to say this and keep me safe. And she prays and she tells this guy, hey, listen, there's no such thing as having a little bit of a relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, I want your whole life and your whole heart. You can't have just a little bit. You can't just dip your toes in and go to church and think you're saved. You say, God, here's my life. Take it all. The guy reaches down, pulls out a knife, looks her dead in the eyes. And he slams his knife down on the table. And you see, in China, they don't carry guns. It's not how they roll, right? They can only carry knives. And they're like, ching, 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 oh, dude, kung fu and stuff. So he killed people with his knife. That knife had killed a lot of people. No lie. Lays it down on the table and said, I'm giving up my knife. I'm not doing this anymore. I want to know about this Jesus you're talking about. Right there, you get saved. People all over the city start to get saved because they hear. It's like a Paul story. The Apostle Paul, the baddest of the bad, get saved. People are like, what? This must be legit. And they start to hear about it and hear his testimony. People are getting saved all over the place. You know why? Because some dude in prison read the word of God and believed it. Didn't know why. The dude's not even eating Sunnies, and he could have been, you know what I'm saying? But he believed God's word. And with a prayer of faith, he prayed and he said, God, I can't handle this. This is a God-sized problem. Will you do it? Y'all, God answers prayer. No doubt about it. How are you praying? Are you telling him what to do? Or are you laying yourself down and saying, God, I'm yours. I have faith in you, not the request. And then look and see what he does. Right? Here's how I want to end. I'm not going to pray to end you guys. I'd like for you just to get in groups of like maybe 3 or 4 people. Too many people right now, but you don't even need a leader in your group. I believe you guys can do this. You have the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you just to go around and be like, my dog's sick and my uncle, you know, has, you know, a blister on his toe, whatever. Here's what I want you to do. We prayed for that. I want you to pray for each other. I want you to pray for each other's souls. I want you to pray that God's doing mighty work in you to free you from sin. I want you to pray for the people in your life that don't know Jesus. Let's pray for just a couple minutes for eternal things for each other. And when you're done, just quietly, without making a whole bunch of noise and distracting people, just get up and you guys can walk outside and play, do whatever you want. Spend about 3 minutes just getting together and pray, okay? So go ahead and do that. I love you guys.